Take your Bible. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7 this morning. Romans chapter 7. Let's start in at verse 18. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." An old Anglican writing in the 1800s penned these words, and I quote, "The holiest actions of the holiest saint that ever lived are all, more or less, full of defects and imperfections. They are either wrong in their motive or defective in their performance. And in themselves are nothing more than splendid sins, deserving God's wrath and condemnation." Those are words, I think, for a generation of Christians that have gone to seed on something called grace. I think we've got a brand of Christianity today that thinks that we're all that. Forgot where we came from. Forgot who we are. And really where we're headed. You see, detached from God's grace, our best efforts are nothing more than splendid sins. On this side of heaven, we're all a pretty sorry bunch. No one will be saved nor kept by what we do. Our only hope is to run, walk, crawl to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even then I'm struck with the truth that as tight as I may make my grip on Him, it's His hand reaching way, way, way down to where I am that holds me in this place of salvation. We're all splendid sinners, lovable losers, miserable misfits, fantastic failures, and as I put it, messed up folk. But thank God for His grace. There are many, by virtue of a total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, that are His messed up people. Did you ever wonder why the Bible spends so much time talking about messed up people? You see, the Bible makes it very plain that they're a bunch of messed up folk. We call them heroes. But God's pretty honest about where people came from. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. Jacob deceived. Moses murdered. Rahab prostituted herself. Paul killed Christians. Peter denied Christ. Folks, think about it. The only ones that live on this earth are folks like us that are seriously weak. The talent pool is pretty thin as far as perfect folks go. Truth is, heaven's the only place where perfect people hang out. All he's got to work with here is a bunch of splendid sinners, which makes sense when you get right down to it. When you look at the plan and the program of God, it makes perfect sense. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you will, for just a moment. First chapter, 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Look around you. Look at the people that are around you. What do you see? Same thing these Corinthians saw every day. The same thing, the same people that Paul was writing to here. Everyday, ordinary men and women. Not just the upper crust of society. Regular folks. Regular folks who've had their life changed by Jesus Christ. Remember where you came from. Do you remember where you came from? Remember what you were? That song that Paul sang there just a moment ago, I'm not the man I used to be. Now he's still in there. The potential for that old man is still in there. The potential for the things that old man used to do is still in there. That flesh still wars against us today. But by the grace of God and by surrendering to that God of grace, we're different. We're changed. We need to remember where we came from. We're nothing more than a dirt clod that God blew breath into. That's what the early part of the book says. We're just a dirt clod that He blew breath into. We're not much of anything in the shape that we're in. He blew breath into that dirt clod and brought it into the world, and at some point He spoke life to that dirt bag. He spoke life to that dirt bag, and that dirt bag surrendered his bag of dirt to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We decided to follow Jesus. If you remember where you came from, you'll appreciate where you're going a whole lot more. The passage that we have before us here tells us that when God chooses His team, He starts with people that the world chooses last. He prefers the weak over the strong. God's not an affirmative action God. He's not a God that goes by quotas. He's chosen to populate the church with rejects. And then He sprinkles in a few of the blue bloods. He sprinkles in a few of the big shots occasionally. He puts in a little dab of powerful in amongst. But He prefers the losers. God loves to save the uneducated folk. He loves to save the foolish. He loves to save the addicted, broken, imprisoned lepers of the world. He just really specializes in messed up people. Why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. That's why. That's why He specializes in messed up people. that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know, when this world throws its party, all of the beautiful people get the invites. You got the Afflecks and the Anistons and the Simpsons and the Cruises and the Pitts and Clooney's and Sheltons and Snoop Dogs and Senators and Crafts and Lurie's, and all the beautiful people get the invite when the world throws a big shindig. Fancy ballrooms rented out, securities tightened to keep the riffraff out. That's code for ordinary folks like me and you. Put on gowns and tuxes, helicopters fly overhead, the red carpet is rolled out, the rope lines are made, the paparazzi shows up, pop, 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 so that ordinary folks can get a sense and a flavor for what's taking place with the beautiful people of the world. But God does that different too, doesn't He? See, when the world throws a party, that's how the world throws one. But when God throws one, He throws it different. Look at Luke chapter 14. Verse 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full, a field. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. God takes those that the world looks through. God takes those that the world looks past, that the world overlooks. Wonder why a church gets all giddy when a celebrity gets saved. You let a big old ball player get saved that has a lot of exposure, and boy, the church goes wild over them. Why? Do we need that to validate who we are? God broke. He needs that big shot's money. I preached when some big shots came into the church. Usually somebody reminds you when a big shot's in the church, as though you're going to change something up, as though you're going to, you know, pull out all the stops when the big shot shows in up, that you're going to do something, you know, like way above what you ever did before. Take it up a notch. Listen to me, it's great when somebody influential visits, but it is equally great when a prostitute visits. It is equally great when a man with AIDS walks through those doors. When a single mom and 4 kids in tow walks through the building and comes in those doors. Equally great. Somebody that just got out of jail comes to church. Now, unless they broke out. That's something great. Listen, God wants them all. That's why He took you. God wants them all. He wants the big fish and He wants the little fish. He wants every one of those fish. He wants them all to come in. But what He wants is He wants us all, but He wants us all to park our ego at the door. He wants us to park us at the door. He don't want us in here. He wants us empty in here. He wants us ready to be filled in here. He can't fill something that's full. You come in here full of you, it's hard to empty you so that He can replace what's in you. Why? That he may get the glory. He don't care nothing about you getting glory. That's not why he saved you. He saved you that you might pass on, that you might give him the glory for all that he does. And that's what keeps a lot of big fish out of the church. Got a lot of big fish. We might have a big fish or two in here today. Too big, too important. I'm somebody. I don't need this life. I don't need this Jesus character. Maybe that's you this morning. You're a big fish in a little pond here. Your pond's temporary. It's going to dry up on you. Look at verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It'll be because of Jesus, because of who Jesus is, that you'll be saved, not who you are. That's what that says. It's not your wisdom, it's not your intellect that got you here. You're not a Christian because you're good people. It's because of him. God wants us to know that it's because of him that we come to Jesus. And if we believe that, which is necessary, then our boasting will be in the Lord and in the Lord alone. When it comes to salvation, all we provided was the sin. The sin that makes it necessary for us to be saved. We provided a real important piece there, didn't we? God does it all. If we got it, and we really got it, that would make things radically different in our life. Our talk, for example, would be completely different. So many of us talk about ourselves so much that we hardly talk about the Lord. I was really encouraged yesterday as I walked around this building. 44, 45 men around here working, doing different things. Man, the Lord's name came up a lot. The Lord was lifted up in a lot of conversations. Some really awesome conversations with some of our men here yesterday. God's not a fan of human pride. He wants us to know that we have nothing to brag about, lest it's him. Him. And that we're all equal in his family. We list our accomplishments, but God looks for a broken and contrite heart. It's what he looks for. Anybody been watching the Olympics? Don't tell anybody, but I did watch the skating one night. And on the scoring system for the skating, they have what they call a base value. And that base value that's used there means that every move that you can make has a value assigned to it, has a base value. And if it's performed good and correct, then you get the base value. But if it was you performed it above that, you get something above. If you perform below that, you get something less than the base value. But there's a base value assigned to everything that they do. I think even when they spit, there's a base value for that. From the moment they start that music to the time it quits, everything they do out there is getting a score of some kind. And there's a base value for everything that's there. So depending on how you do, how you move, how you don't, the score is awarded in that sport. Friend, there is a base value for you. And the base value for you is perfection. And anything less is a fail. You don't get a one-off or a two-off or a three-off or whatever. It's just a fail. When you're anything less than perfect, you just get a fail. Your base value is perfection. Only God could have conceived of a way that losers could become winners. Every loser can become a winner. And the way that every loser becomes a winner, because we have failed, we have come in less than what that base value has set up for us. The way that a loser can win is by surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come into the Christian life as zeros. But the good thing is we don't have to stay there. Turn with me, if you will, back to the old book, 2 Chronicles, for just a moment. Second Chronicles 20. Story that we have here is King Jehoshaphat. And he's in Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem is being besieged. Enemies are closing in. They're all around. And as he sees the dire predicament that he is in here, King Jehoshaphat cries out in the presence of the people. I mean, this is not in his private prayer closet. This is out there in front of God and everybody, okay? He cries out to the people there. What does he cry out? Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What he cries out to the people there is simply this: Lord, we're losers unless you do something. We're losers unless you do something. It's not about us, it's about him. You see, old Jehoshaphat understood that. It's not about us, it's all about the Lord. God, we don't have a chance. We don't even know what to do next. See, when you get into that place and you don't even know what to do next, you're in a good place. That's what this is getting at. It means you're in a pretty good spot when you don't know what to do next. Because what that means is that you're in a position now where you can trust completely, lean wholly upon the Lord. Let him do what he wants done. Let me be clear and honest with you this morning. I'm a loser. In my flesh, there is no good thing. Whatever good comes from here, the power to do it comes from the Lord. He gets any credit that is due. I am sick of me. I'm just sick of me. I'm sick of the me that is me at times. I'm sick of me, and I get on my nerves way too much. Paul poured out his heart there in Romans chapter 7. And talks about, I hate me at times. I don't like me at all. Don't like what I do. Don't like why I do it. And I'm with him. And the older I get and the more that I move in this area and the more that I grow and the more that I learn, the more I'm sick of me. I had a good long conversation with a brother yesterday about all of that. Well, we talked long about that. And boy, he wound up being encouraged in the conversation at the end of it to realize and understand that it's just the Lord. He's the one that makes a way. He's the one that makes a way through. He's the one that moves us in the proper direction. I'm just sick of me. I get on my nerves. But I stumble forward. And I just want to keep stumbling forward. Stumbling forward. I've said it so many times around here. Jason's picked up the cry as well. We spent a lot of time together. He and I share, just passing in the halls and all day and here, there, and yon. We just kind of pick up stuff that each other talks about. Stumbling forward. All I want to do one day at a time is to try to be closer today to the Lord than I was yesterday. Stumble forward. Stumble on. And by His grace I can. And by the helper of that Holy Spirit, we can. We can stumble forward. Drawn by the Spirit of grace. Drawn by the Spirit of God. Here's the truth. God chooses losers because that's all He's got to work with. There ain't nothing but losers on this planet. That's all he's got to work with. So when you look around and you see somebody and you think that there's something and there's some this or that or the other, you got your thinking messed up. You got your thinking messed up because they're just as messed up as you are. God chooses losers. That's his plan. That's his program. And he chooses losers that he alone can get the credit for anything and everything that is accomplished that's good. There it is. There's the simplicity of what God puts forward. Go back to Romans. Chapter 8. We went through the valley of chapter 7 in order that we can get to the peaks of chapter 8. Paul goes through those valleys and he is hard on himself in 7. But then he comes around in that circular motion saying, you know, yeah, all of that's true, but God. God makes a way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We start as zeros, but in Christ we are anything but zeros. Verse 37, same chapter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, today is messed up people. Here's the drill. Press into God. Press into Him. Press your life into His. Press into Him. See, that's what separation is all about. Separation, we talk about being separate from this world and moving away from this. And, you know, we got too many creeds and mantras and too many formulas written on the walls of too many churches that say, do this, don't, do this, don't, do this, do. Listen, friend, we don't need to be separated from, we need to be separated to. Not separated from these things, we need to be separated to God. We need to press into Him. And when we press into God, friend, the separation will be automatic. The move away from the things of the world will be automatic in us. As we are pressed into that great God Almighty and we are becoming conformed to His image, as we are becoming more and more like Jesus, as He reveals Himself to us by His Spirit and moves us forward in this, we will have distance between us and this world that's around us. Here's the way the writer of Hebrews puts it. I kind of like this too. Hebrews chapter 4, one little verse. Verse 10, it says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. When we rest, when we press into God, press into Him, it ceases to be a work. It simply means that we are now becoming something. We become something. We're not doing something, we're becoming something. And as we become something, everything that we do reveals Him. Everything that we're about reveals the one that we are becoming like. Pressing into the Lord. Separating to Him, not from the things of this world. I'm not who I used to be. Are you? We're redeemed. Press in. Press in. Press into the Lord. Bunch of messed up people. Huh? Well, thank God we can recognize it. Thank God we can see that and understand it and know what the reason for that is, so that the one who ought to get the glory does get the glory in everything. It's not about you. Park you outside. Park you outside. Did you come in here to be changed? Did you come to be changed today? Well, if you did, I have no doubt that the Lord spoke to you in some way. Now it's incumbent upon you to respond to what it is that He has called out to you this day. Let's pray. We'll offer an invitation this morning and go from there. Stand with me if you will. Dear Heavenly Father, we, Lord, come to you having no other standing, no other footer but the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come clothed in His righteousness, standing on the rock this morning. And from that vantage point, we boldly access your throne, boldly come before you, telling you that we know who we are, that we are little and you are big, that we are weak and you are strong. We come recognizing that we need you. We need you more than anything. And we ask you, Father, today to remind us of where we came from. Lord, that we're really not big fish in a little pond, that we are just little folk that you have made victorious, conquering folks through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being there for us. Thank you, Lord, for watching out for us. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of things that we can't even see, think, or imagine going on around us. Thank you, Lord, that you're there in the blessed day. Thank you, Lord, that you're there in the day of trouble. Thank you, Lord, that you're there no matter what's going on, no matter where we're headed, no matter what. Thank you for your watch care, your provision, for desiring more from us. Thank you, Lord, for not letting us stay where we are, not help us not to be content where we are. Help us to be people of the book, growing. Lord, lined up. Lord, we want to see things change, and the only way things can change in our life, in our country, is when we as individuals change. When we as families change. And as these families change, a church changes, and a church changes, a community changes, and that affects a city, and a city affects a county, and a county affects a state. And Lord, a state affects a nation. God, help us to see that we don't need a new passenger on Air Force One. God, we need a new resident in our lives. Lord, to change us into the nation that you want us to be. It has to start from the bottom, Lord. It has to start with me. So God, change us into the people you want us to be, that we might once again be the nation that you want us to be. Father, I love you, and I thank you for these people. As messed up as they are, Lord, I love them. And I ask you, Father, to help us to band together, to work together, to grow together, to love together as a mighty church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. For we ask that in Jesus' name, and amen.